Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's exciting. You don't even know to get the music to start up when you want it to. I mean, it really doesn't get any better than that. Starting to get this thing fine-tuned. My name is Duke Machado. You are listening to the Duke Machado Show. I do thank you for tuning in. 10 o'clock Central Time. But all you guys out in California, out in the west side of the country, you still got plenty of time. We do accept live calls. Sometimes we get into some very interesting conversations when we open the lines up. So I want to just thank the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. I know we've got listeners in Dallas area. Austin here in Texas. I know I've got some people in Boston, Massachusetts, and Atlanta, California, all tuned in listening to this program. What you're trying to do is get another little nugget of information, maybe a different perspective on something. Maybe you're hearing things and your friends are talking about some of the different candidates and they're saying something that doesn't really sit right with you. And you're trying to find out whether or not you're making sound decisions when it comes to lining yourself up with a candidate. And I know that no one's perfect, and none of our candidates are the perfect candidate. But in my opinion, there are some that have more appeal than others, that's for sure. And I know that you guys feel the same way. But we're going to get into a little conversation tonight. We're going to talk about Ben Carson's surge in the polls. Donald Trump made his tax plan announcement. We're going to break that down a little bit. Also, Ted Cruz comes away a clear poll winner in the Values Voters poll. That was here a few days ago. Also, Thursday night, this coming Thursday night, we have a special guest who will be calling in live. His name is David Liu, and he is, believe it or not, a moderate Muslim. He served in the U.S. Army in our intelligence department, and right now he is a professor at McLennan College here in Waco. So we're excited to have him on, and he's done some writing, and from what I've read, he's on the edge. He's doing things that I want more moderate Muslims doing, and speaking out against the terrorists and what they're doing, their tactics. We all say, where are these guys? Well, we're going to have one Thursday, so I hope you're tuned in on Thursday. But if you want to call in, the number here, 347-637-1055. 347-637-1055. So, over the weekend, you know, we have Netflix and we watch all kinds of movies and things. And there was a movie that was on Netflix. It is still on Netflix. I believe it's called Gifted Hands. It's the story of a Dr. Ben Carson. And he's played by Cuba Gooding Jr. And it kind of tells the story of who Ben Carson is in his own right, worthy of a movie. And he is a neurosurgeon. He's done things to humans that had never been done before. He has the kind of training, education, skill, talent, whatever it is that to pull off some of these surgeries, intense, very dangerous, high risk surgeries over and over again, the way he does, he has been changing people's lives, and it didn't happen. He wasn't raised with a silver spoon in his mouth, and that's one thing I really like about him. I like that about Marco Rubio too. they weren't raised with silver spoons in their mouth. They had to overcome obstacles in their lives. They had to, face some of the challenges that life throws at them. And sometimes defeat, you learn through defeat, and you learn who you are, and you build character. And this movie was just so good at lining out who Ben Carson really is, and the kind of thought that he puts into any challenge. I mean, we're talking about people who have issues that have never been seen before, medical issues that no one in the world can solve. And who do they go to? They go to Johns Hopkins Medical Center, where Ben Carson is there talking about, or not talking, but he's showing the world his skill. And he's not showing off, and he's not braggadocious. He's not anything like that. He's humble. But his skill, the patience, the thought, the planning, the attention to details, all of these are characteristics that are traits that I want to see in a president. It's one thing to say that you are, it's one thing to say that, you know, it's easy to throw red meat out there. You can say things that people want to hear and people like to hear, and everything's great. But it's another thing to tell them things that they don't like to hear and to provide solutions that may be a little painful. But the solution actually occurs, which is something that a lot of times we hear candidates talking about things that they want to do when they get to Washington. And when they get there, they realize it can't be done. And so, you know, they fill us with empty promises. Well, to me, Dr. Ben Carson is not going to fill you full of a promise that he can't deliver on. We have enough people who are making empty promises. And I'm glad to know that, watching this movie, watching Dr. Carson respond the way he's responded to this issue with the case of Muslims and whether they should ever be president. These are real serious questions that he has answered. Let's go ahead and talk about these for a second. We're going to try to break these up, and I know that I've seen a few callers already call in and bail out, but just bear with me. We're going to get to you. So if you want to get on this line and share your thoughts, call in 347-637-1055. I was just about to get to you and miss you. So call back in, and we'll get you on the radio here with us tonight. So Ben Carson is surging in the polls, and a lot of people say that he's surging because of his comments about basically that he didn't think a Muslim should be president. And when they thought they had kind of had him in a gotcha thing, he doubled down on it. And he said, no, and he gave reasons why. And basically, the reason that he gives is that to be a true Muslim and to worship in the way that Muslims are to worship and to follow the book the way they are to follow the book, that those commitments are not in line with the Constitution, that they are actually contradictory to the Constitution. And, you know, I don't know how many of you have read the Quran. I have not read it, but I have decided to start reading it. And the first book of the Quran, around verse 150 or something like that. But already reading it, I can see the many different, I can see that It's been hijacked. Real plainly, in the beginning of the Quran, it talks about that Muslims should not kill other Muslims, that they should not force people out of their homes, that they should not, basically, that they shouldn't be doing all the things that they're doing now. They shouldn't be persecuting people, that persecuting someone is a worse offense than actually killing someone. But that's all these terrorists are doing. And they're in direct violation to what the Quran actually teaches in its simple form. I know that there's a lot of confusion about what the Quran teaches. I know that there are several books that accompany the Quran. And in these books, there's even more confusion. But it is definitely an oppressive towards women, from what I've read. It is a male-dominant Sharia law-abiding document. It is easy to see how it is not in line with our Constitution. So people are cheering Ben Carson on because they say he didn't fall for the PC attack. He didn't flip-flop or change direction because it was potentially, they're going to position it as a racist position against Muslims. But I think that based on what I know, and I'm sure what he knows, he's okay with his response. I think he's gained traction. I think is one of the reasons he's surged in the polls. And we have, you are going to always have people who call him out, and doesn't matter what he says, they're saying now, it doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that you have to be Christian to be president. Well, I know it doesn't say that anywhere, and there's no one saying that a Muslim couldn't become president. What I think he was trying to say is that he didn't think it was a good idea. He didn't think it was a good fit, a good match, and based on everything I know, I agree with him. I agree with him. And so that's maybe why he's gaining more support. All right, so we're going to move on to the next topic. We're already, these shows go by so fast. The next topic tonight, Donald Trump's tax plan. Okay, here's the deal on the tax plan. If you haven't, I haven't read the full document. I've just read some different articles, so this is my first analysis. We'll go by, and I'll keep reading more. But just real quickly, he says he wants to provide major tax relief for middle-income families. And I guess that if you make less than $25,000 per year, then you will pay no income tax. And if you're married, if you make combined under $50,000 a year, then you'll pay no income tax. To people, that's got to sound like so good in the beginning. If you make less than $25,000 or less than $50,000, which unfortunately, I'm certainly no Donald Trump, but fortunately I'm not in that either one of those categories. So he's not helping my tax rate. He's not. Basically, people, what he's doing is he's creating a environment where people will only strive to income levels just below the maximum. So if you have a job and you're making $20,000 and you get a job offer that pays $30,000, you're going to keep your job that pays 20 because you're not going to want to pay taxes on your income. And same way with the $50,000. So it's, to me, it's like the person who's on disability and can't get a job that makes more than X amount of dollars. The person's on disability, as soon as they find out that they have a job and they're making a certain amount of money, then their benefits are cut. So what do? They don't get any more income than they need to so that they can keep their benefit coming. And to me, this is what Donald Trump has put in place. He's put in place tax traps. That's what I call it, the Trump tax trap. And unfortunately, you know, I think it's going to be one of those things where good intentions have bad consequences, and people will be trapped in the lower income levels just because they like the idea of living a tax-free life. I know there's other plans out there. I know that, you know, people are circulating the idea of a flat tax. I kind of like that idea. Everybody pays a little bit. Why should someone who's less skilled than me, has less earning potential than me, why should they have the benefit of not paying taxes? To me, that's not fair. You know, he goes on to talk about in his tax plan that if you make $150,000 or more, or a couple that makes up to $300,000, that your tax rate will drop from 40% to 25%. Well, most people in that income category can find a way to write off expenses and things like that, and really shave that 40% down. I don't know many people who pay the full 40% tax rate. If they do, they haven't learned any of the tax laws to help them. But you know, it all sounds good. That sounds great. It sounds like, you know, everyone's getting free Obama phones on the Trump tax plan. To me, it's a red meat policy. Something that he wants to put out there that makes people say, "Ooh, I got to have that. I'm going to support that because I don't want to pay taxes." I mean, it's a tactic for sure. It's definitely a tactic, and you know, he's going after low income voters. He'll call them middle income American voters. You know, if you are a person who is in favor of this tax plan, then you are against fairness. And that's what Obama did. That's how Obama got supporters, by promising them things, stuff, money. It's no different. So people are already thinking about what they're going to do with their tax money that they are not having to spend. And that's great, but what about everyone else? What about the people that make $30,000 to $150,000? We're just going to have to pay taxes. So to me, that's not a plan that passes the test. It's got to help everybody, and it can't be disproportionate. A flat tax concept is fair. A consumption tax, those ideas, I like those ideas, where you get taxed a flat rate, everyone's taxed the same rate on products that we buy. Food, gas, clothes, vehicles, items, furniture, whatever. We pay a rate, and that rate is absorbed right in our purchase. And I like the idea of not paying tax, federal income taxes. I really like that idea. I'm already in Texas, so we don't have state taxes, and so I'm fortunate there. But to have to say that only certain people will pay no taxes and everyone else is still going to have to pay taxes, that's just a big joke to me. I can't believe that people are actually signing off on a plan like this and calling it brilliant. It doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, so just real quick, I've got to do a few plugs for the show. You can go to my Facebook page. Really, really need to build that up. The Duke Machado Show. You can follow me on Twitter at Duke Machado 1. And, send a message, friend request or whatever. Let's get the social media kicked up. And that's really how all this works on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm really excited about this platform. Live callers, the number to call in is 347-637-1055. And I want to let you know again, Thursday night's program, we have guest David Liu. David Liu was in the U.S. Army, and he is I guess we're classifying him as a moderate Muslim. So when he comes on, he's going to be representing, hopefully, the rational voice of the Muslim Islamic faith. I don't think every Muslim is bad, but when we don't hear from them, it makes it seem like they are. When we hear silence, it makes us all kind of want to lump them in the same pot. And, that's unfortunate for them, but it's just reality. People, there's only one religious group that is causing all this terror, and it's Islam. It's Muslims. So where's all the confusion? Why is it going on? Why are we allowing it to continue? Why hasn't it been suppressed from within? Why haven't the moderates taken control of their radicals within their party? Who's running things? Why isn't anything being done? Why is Vladimir Putin leading on this, and the United States is just waiting to see what happens? It makes no sense to me. I was trying to watch Vladimir Putin's speech today at the UN, and the one thing that I can say about him is that he's very serious about defeating ISIS. He's serious to the point of arming the Syrians. And we don't really care for the Syrians too much because the Syrians are helping the Iranians. And, they all seem to be against the United States. And when we see Vladimir Putin or Russia assisting Syria by giving them weapons to supposedly fight ISIS, is it unnatural to think that, maybe they could use those same weapons against us somehow? That those could be deterrents against the future American invasions? I mean, because we are talking about being able to inspect Iran and take actions against Iran. I mean, we hear one of our allies, Israel, talking about strategic strikes, preemptive strikes. So, yeah, I mean, it's all out there. The world seems upside down, and we have to have more dialogue, more conversations to work it all out, because right now, it just seems so chaotic. it seems like everything's boiling and it's about to just explode. That's how it seems to me anyway. Maybe I'm the only person who feels that way, but I doubt it. I know there's quite a few frustrated souls in this country who've seen what's going on. We just can't believe it. And we think, what can we do? We elect people. We send them to Washington. They get up there and they don't do anything. They tell us one thing and do another. We can't count on anybody to do anything. That's what it seems like. So what is the most important thing right now in politics? I don't know. I'd like to think that the most important thing should always be our safety. Politicians, our elected officials, should be concerned first and foremost with keeping the people safe. And what's the biggest threat? Who is our biggest threat? Yeah. So join us Thursday night. Thursday night we're going to have our special guest. Oh, by the way, he's skilled in Homeland Security and just in general security, national security. And David Liu will be with us. I'm going to come up with some really good questions for him. And this conversation will continue tomorrow night. Tune in every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. We got a 30-minute show. It's quick. It's easy. I just rattle off some ideas and thoughts and hope that we hit a strike a nerve somewhere. I do take live calls, and our number for live calls is 347-37-1055. And I know I had a few callers on earlier, and I'm sorry that I missed you guys, but I was just trying to get to my first break. So be patient with me. Let's see here. Last thing on the list. Well, I don't even have time. See, we're just 2 minutes left in the program. I will say this. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, someone I've known for several years. And, you know, we were talking about mass deportation. And, of course, he likes Ted Cruz and he likes Donald Trump. And I said, well, how can you like those guys? They support mass deportation. And he says, well, I support the rule of law. Well, I don't know what kind of answer that was. To me, if you say you support the rule of law, does that mean that you support mass deportation? I'm not real sure. The rule of law, what does the rule of law even matter when it comes to immigration at this point? We are so weak in how we address the immigration laws that we have as far as enforcement. There is no rule of law. There's a theory, there's hypothetical rule of law, but as far as anyone actually enforcing it, it doesn't exist. So what are we going to do about it? Who says we're going to enforce it in the future? We can't do it now. How are we going to enforce it in the future? What are we going to do about the illegal immigrants who are here right now? You're going to round them all up? You don't even know where they are. You don't even know who they are. It's time to start a documentation plan. You know, this is something that can happen. Fines, penalties, fees. You know, we can make them pretty stiff. No one gets citizenship. We just give people the ability to work, the ability to pay taxes, the ability to contribute to society, come out of the shadows. I don't know. It seems to make sense to me. I'm glad Marco Rubio and Ben Carson like that approach. Okay, folks, we're about out of here. My name is Duke Machado, and we'll catch you tomorrow night at 10 p.m.